looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change, wishing you could keep the faith, longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
We're rocking.
Michelle Morgan.
Living on a Prayer. Howdy, everybody. On this very, very stormy winter Monday. Yes, it's winter. Or so we're being told. Hope everybody had a great week. I did. Can't believe it's been a full week. And we're back. It's a psychic free-for-all today, everybody. So hence the Ted Nugent at the beginning. So phone line is open. Call 877-230-3062. Again, the number is 877-230-3062. We're going to be getting to callers in a little while. I got a few things to chat about first. I want to give a little shout out to all my listeners on 106.9 HD3 in Seattle. You groovy dudes listening to me on the satellite waves. That's pretty cool. Would love for you to get a hold of me if you have a topic you want me to cover on this show, because I'm doing all sorts of stuff inspired by my fabulous listeners and my fans on my Facebook page. It's tons of fun for me. You can send me an email at michellemorgan.org. There's a little box you can click on and just send me an email straight there. Or you can get on my Facebook fan page and shoot me a message. And the way to do that, finding me on Facebook, is to go to michellemorgan.org. And again, that's Michelle with one L, morgan.org. Click on the Facebook icon in the links box on the right side of any page on the website, and it'll take you straight into Facebook. Okay, I want to see a show of hands of all the people out there who just don't want to do Facebook. People, I can see there's thousands of hands raised right now. I know Facebook can be a little bit odd at times, but I have to say I'm having a lot of fun with my fan page, because I'm getting some great interaction with people listening to the show, and we get some great discussions up, and I get to post prayers and all sorts of groovy things. So if you're interested, definitely take advantage of that. And you can also go to the host page on contacttalkradio.com, and on the right side, click on iTunes, and you can subscribe straight to the show, meaning the show will be sent to you as soon as it's up in the archives. And then by subscribing to iTunes, it gives us an idea who all's listening. We get the numbers each month, so that's pretty cool. And you can rate the show and also write a review, and that's also helpful because it lets people know what we're all about here. And we're getting the word out. We're getting the word out. So we're going to go straight into one of my favorite segments on this show. So I'm assuming, Miss Barbaloo, that you have the very exciting song queued up for the Cosmic Critter of the Week.
I can walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals. And they can squeak and squawk and speak and talk. To me!
Rex Harrison was so cool in that movie. It was such a great movie. Dr. Doolittle. I am looking at the Animal Spirit Guides book by Dr. Stephen D. Farmer, our real life Dr. Doolittle. He has a show on this station, 4 p.m. Thursdays, Earth Magic Radio. And today's cosmic critter is the toad. Toad hopped on into the picture today. And here's what toad means. It's a good time to withdraw into solitude and contemplate emotional or spiritual matters. You'll have an opportunity to review and clear some uncomfortable emotional issues from the past. Wow, just did that recently myself. This is an opportunity to contact your most primal instinctual self, the part of you that's the seed of any new personal or spiritual growth. This is a volatile period of personal change, one where you'll feel unsettled and fragmented, yet one in which a new you will emerge feeling more integrated and whole. And finally, you have much more available to you in terms of skills, experience, and inner strength than you are aware of. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That is freakishly appropriate for about a dozen people that I am working with currently. So that's an amazing little critter to show up this week. Okay, so got to, you know, dress y'all down a little bit here. I'm not getting any stories of cosmic critter visitations during the week, and I'm sad about that. So I would love to hear from you if you are getting any kind of visions or, you know, visitations by these critters. But more importantly, if you are experiencing the energy of these critters, I would love, love, love to hear from you. So you can shoot me a quick email, give me a phone call, whatever. That'd be great. So before we get into the psychic free-for-all today, I have a little free-for-all that I want to do. I need to beg your indulgence, listeners, to go on a bit of a rant this morning. And here's what it's about. So my almost stepson, who is probably the coolest dude of his age that I've ever known, very amazing young man. He plays youth football on a community team. So it's not a school team, it's the community ball. And they have a ruling. It's an actual league rule in community football. And I don't know if this applies to school ball or not. But anyway, they have this league ruling that states, if a team is beating another team by a spread of more than 35 points, the winning team has to write a letter of apology to the losing team, and that the coach of the winning team can potentially get suspended for a week for winning. Ah, okay. I'm trying not to light the soapbox on fire as I talk about this. So I decided to get on the National Junior Football League website and look up these rulings specifically so I could get a little clearer about this. And they actually have a page called Excessive Score Rules. And yes, indeed, a margin of victory of 35 points or more constitutes a violation of the excessive score rule. And the coach of that winning team has to file a report within 48 hours to the president of the franchise, detailing what actions were taken to minimize the scoring margin and any additional circumstances for consideration. And then again, the coach can get suspended, removed. There can be forfeiture of game, loss of standing in the league, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So here's where I'm going to go with this, because I definitely understand some of the aspects of this rule. I'm going to trust that the rule was originally instated to try and get a grip on unsportsmanlike conduct, you know, potential cheating, coaches that play only their star players, never put their second string in, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But here's why I get so on my soapbox about this. It's total polarity stuff. This is a complete polarity illustration, and I think it's a really powerful one. First of all, we in this culture, and you've heard me talk about this before many times, we are so politically correct. We strive for such political correctness that we err on the side of not teaching our children anything because we want everything to be fair. And here's the problem with that. Many problems that I can see. First of all, the theory of evolution, okay? The strong survive. And that is instinctual in our nature, okay? Literally instinctual. It's as instinctual as the fight or flight survival instinct is. So the challenge with making it so that if this team is winning and then they're in trouble for winning, How is that benefiting the losing team, first of all? I really struggle with that one because failure is how we learn. Failure is how we grow. Failure is how we figure out what is not working and then strive to do something better. I also got on the internet and looked up some stuff, some blogs from different coaches that were talking about this very rule. And one coach at a Catholic school said, "There have been games where I've instructed our players to fumble, but warned them to not make it look intentional." What is wrong with that picture? So here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about the state of our nation right now. I want you to think in terms of teaching a 14-year-old boy to misrepresent himself, to put himself out there on a playing field in this very specific framework of masculine warrior energy that, again, is instinctual and hardwired, and teach him to misrepresent himself and to manipulate circumstances. And then we wonder why CEOs of companies are doing the things that they're doing, ripping people off, etc., and they don't have a framework for whether that's ethical or unethical, wrong or right, etc. And I would love to hear from somebody who can give me really clear understanding of how this rule is benefiting anything. And again, I definitely understand this whole idea of, you know, wanting to make sure that coaches are coaching appropriately, that they're teaching these children to, you know, play fair, et cetera, et cetera. But another coach was quoted in this story as saying, "The bottom line is that getting blown out is not the worst thing in the world. You always learn more from your losses than from your wins." And another coach said, "Blowout games can be teachable moments. Talk to your players about how to comport themselves when they're getting killed. Talk about character, about fighting until the whistle blows, and about not letting the score determine how hard you play." The masculine is hardwired to be a warrior. Boys, for instance, want to play with guns, most of them do, when they're little, and our culture says that's bad, it's violent, we don't want to teach them that. But what would happen if you were to teach them to defend and protect the kingdom with that toy gun, rather than, you know, just blowing people's heads off? What if they learned that they are a provider and a protector, and they learned how to do that with integrity and honor? And it's the same thing with failing. Boys who do not learn to fail with honor and integrity will grow up seeking the win at all cost. They'll do anything to win because they did not learn how to fail. Or they literally won't have a frame of reference for ethical behavior. Or at the first failure that they do have out in the world, the grown-up real world, where they don't have a cushion of protection, of an apology letter, etc., they're not going to be able to handle it. And they'll make it a personal statement about themselves, resulting in, you know, a lot of issues that men are facing in this world today. They're lost, they're purposeless, they don't know who they are, they're depressed, they suffer addictions, etc., etc. Joseph Campbell said, "What we don't choose to experience positively, we will experience negatively." So what we don't utilize consciously that's in our instinctual nature will come out the back door in shadow behavior. There's no exception to that. And I think teaching children that if you're winning, there's something wrong with you, and you have to apologize to the team that didn't win, and worse, to the team that lost, you didn't, you know, it, nothing you could have done about it, and the other team was at fault. I just find that so reprehensible, I can hardly see straight. So I would love to hear some opinions on that from all of you, because I find that just a tremendous example of how polarity in our culture is so messed up. We're not even teaching these children how to be in the world in a real way. And then we wonder why this generation of adults doesn't know how to be in the real world and doesn't know how to conduct themselves with integrity or honor. So that's my polaritudinal rant for today. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have several people online. We're going to go to the psychic free-for-all, dive on in and find out what we need to find out for whatever question you have. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. Don't go away. I'm coming on and I'm driving home. I'm helping you. I do declare it's a free-for-all.
satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
If you've got a question for Michelle, give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Living on a Prayer. You're listening to Michelle Morgan.
Great song, Barb. That was fun. All righty. We're going straight to the phone lines. Erica, darling, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm hanging there, how Americans say.
Yep. Well, you're in good company, girl. There's a lot of us hanging right now. So what can I do for you?
I'm still in the process of trying to figure out how I'm going to return to Seattle and to the school, you know, continue my doctoral studies.
Right.
And until now, I don't have, like, really a lead. I have been applying for jobs there in Seattle. I have writing some people that I know, but I don't have, like, nothing.
Okay.
So I would like you pretty much see how things are going upstairs and if there is some kind of information tip that I, you know, could bring me more close to where I should go as fast, you know, get it really into my path so this can really move and flow.
You bet. Absolutely. Remind me what you are astrologically.
Pisces.
Pisces girl. Okay. So first thing, and I think that this is a great topic to talk about pretty much for everybody, because I'm hearing this from just about everybody. And I'm experiencing it to a certain extent in my world as well. There is this hurry up and wait kind of feeling that's going on right now. And it's global. I mean, it is definitely, planetary in nature. And it also, I believe, has everything to do with divine timing. So, you know, we've talked many, many, many times, but it always bears repeating that the process of divine timing is the ultimate test of faith. It's so easy when we're in that waiting game to think that there's something we're not doing, or we've missed something, or maybe, you know, God's kind of, you know, forgotten about us or whatever. We can go into all sorts of real interesting little spinny places as human beings when we're in that waiting period. This is that stage two of the, you know, manifestation experience, where you're doing all the stuff, you're praying, you're visualizing, you're taking the actions that you can take as a human being, and nothing seems to be happening. And the whole point of that, the entire point of that, is faith, period. There is nothing else that you need to be doing right now, but every single day, minute by minute, if necessary, sticking to the vision of what you're wanting and letting God know that you trust his will above yours. Because the truth is, honey, what you want is God asking to be expressed through you. So it's not like, you know, you're wanting to make this move and have this great success, and God, in fact, you know, wants you to stay put and, you know, live in a, I don't know, gutter somewhere. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to trust, baby. You got to trust that you're passionate and you're feeling this desire, this huge desire to make these changes because God wants that for you. But you can't possibly know the timing, nor can you know all of the different people and experiences that will be part of that big picture ultimately. And God's lining those up as we speak. I'm telling you that from just total psychic looking at this. And it's interesting because, tell me if this makes any sense to you, but I feel like what you're headed towards has to do with expanding your audience, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like you're going to be, these changes that you're working towards are going to ultimately put you in a position to be affecting many more people than you are right now. Is that true?
That's really what I want.
Right. Okay, perfect. So you got to think about that for a second. You got to imagine to the best of your ability, because we're limited as human beings, but you have to imagine what God's got on his plate right now to help you with this. And he can handle it. Trust me. He can handle it better than anybody can. But the truth is, there's a lot of variables. He's got to line up a whole lot of stuff right now. And I'm not kidding you. You're in really good company. I don't know if that's, comforting or not, Erica, but there's so many people right now that are on the verge of big change. In fact, I've found myself impatient lately with even that idea that I'm on the verge, because I feel like I've been on the verge for, you know, I don't know, my whole freaking life.
A long time.
So, you know, trust me, I can go there with the best of us. I can go into that place in a heartbeat. And so again, the point of all of this is that this truly is a test of faith. And it's really interesting what comes up here for you psychically. The High Priestess was one of the first cards out of the deck, and the High Priestess is a card of this visionary, powerful, very, very, very spiritually plugged in creature. I mean, it's the goddess. It's the, you know, one of the two goddesses in the tarot deck. So interestingly enough, the human equivalent of the High Priestess is also up here. It's the queen of swords, or the woman of crystals in this deck in particular. And so it's literally like your spiritual self and your human self are lined up for exactly what you want. The aspiration card is here, followed by the harvest card. That is a complete no-brainer. Those two cards alone basically tell you that what you're aspiring towards has a timeline that has to play out. It's a natural harvest cycle that has to play out. And that is in God's hands, baby girl, not yours. And so this is, you know, all I can tell you, honey, is that when you get to this place, and I've experienced this enough in my life to know this, and this is probably really good that I'm even needing to say this to you today, because I need to hear it as well. I have to remember how God has operated in my life in the past, because it's really easy to forget. You know, it's really easy to go into this headspace of thinking that this immediate circumstance that's got you all bound up is all there is, and what do you have to do to change it? When in fact, I think if you take a step back and just remind yourself of all the miracles that God has created in your life, and you've had, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but you've been in this same point before. You've been in this point where you didn't know what was coming next, and then all of a sudden everything broke free and things moved forward and were pretty amazing. Is that fair?
Yeah, something in the past took place. Yes.
Okay.
But this timing has been quite long.
Absolutely. Yes, it has. It has. It's been excruciating. It has been absolutely excruciating. Yeah.
It's pretty much 2 years, almost 2 years.
Yeah. And that, if you, sweetheart, if you look at that just from a global perspective, you can see that the last 2 years have been excruciating on the planet. It's been a time of absolute destruction. Does that make sense? I mean, the last 2 years has been absolutely bonkers for people. Nothing makes sense. Things we've trusted and that have structures that have stood for hundreds of years are falling apart. I mean, there is everything is completely cattywampus. Well, that's because something truer is being born out of the ashes right now. And the key, I cannot emphasize this more, Erica. And believe me, sweetheart, in this moment, I think I really would break my own rules And if I had a magic wand that I could wave and, you know, zap you into the place you wanted to be, I would probably do it, to be honest with you. Usually I tell people I wouldn't because I wouldn't rob you of the experience. But I can so relate to what you're feeling that, you know, I would zap you into your next experience. And then I would really quickly turn the wand on myself, you know, because I know the impatience thing is huge. But again, I'm just going to be the broken record here. This is 100% about divine timing. You have got to trust that. Your faith is being stretched in that process. Do you want to be big enough to receive what you're asking for? Or are you willing to risk being small spiritually, getting what you're asking for, and then having it all fall apart? Are you willing
to? The first one is better.
Yeah, you bet it is. Absolutely. And so that's really, and I'm not just saying that, honey, that's really what this is about. And anybody listening or anybody that's going to podcast this later and hear this that's feeling this way, you better darn tootin' believe this is exactly what I would say to you, because that's what's going on the planet right now. And if you think about it, again, if you can kind of take a step back from the personal angle of this and look at it more from that global perspective, it's kind of interesting how we are all so similar. We have this tendency to believe that we're so alone in our experiences. And yes, we are unique in our experiences. And at the same time, we are such a tribe of sameness in how we're all experiencing the world right now. And the psychic and spiritual energy on the planet is changing. The temperature's rising. The vibration is raising. Pick your analogy however you want to look at it. But the reason I'm saying that is it's placing all of us in this place of hurry up and wait, where you feel like you're just literally in the grip of something huge, but you don't know what the heck it's going to look like. You don't know how to get there. You just feel like you're being grabbed by it, and it's scary. So I'm going to ask you, what is the one tool that will guarantee you get where you want to go?
Surrender, faith.
Yeah, your faith, absolutely. Because God wants you to have what you want. Otherwise, you wouldn't want it. Okay? Go for it.
But that's something I think not just me, but maybe other people probably feel the same. It's like, wow, I have all these desires, you know, that is like a burning thing inside of myself, a passion to help people.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, my God, when I can put this out and really bring on to the whole world what I have to share and to give.
Right.
And feels like, you know, I'm in the holding process and I need to hold all this tension inside. Right. And I think I'm crazy. Maybe God doesn't want this for me. Maybe I'm in the wrong path.
No, I know. Yeah, no, it's absolutely, that's going to be where you're going to go from a human perspective. So here's just a reminder. If this really was the wrong path, quote unquote, one of two things would happen. Either things would bust loose tomorrow and you would be flung headlong into this new cool adventure and nothing would work out. Everything would completely fall apart very quickly after you were launched into that adventure. Or you would lose the passion. You would literally, it would start to wane. The passion would wane. The effort would just be exhausting and you'd be like, oh yeah, whatever. And you would either be totally apathetic or you'd find something else that you'd get all excited about. Trust me on that one. So the key component of this is you have that, and you described it so brilliantly, you have that burning desire. It's literally like a fire in your veins, which to the Pisces nature is not necessarily comfortable being water signs. So that means you're boiling right now. That's God. That is God getting you completely revved and jazzed for what's coming. But think about this, kiddo. There's no way, no way that God is going to unleash you on the world until the world is ready. Because what a waste, you know? If you got out there and did your cool thing and you didn't have an audience, or people just kind of looked at you and went, yeah, whatever, and turned away.
That's what took place here.
What's that?
That's exactly what took place here, where I am.
Okay, so it's leading you to do something better, isn't it?
I hope so.
You know so. And it's okay. This is the other piece that I really want to say to you and everybody else. It is absolutely okay to doubt. It's absolutely okay to question. It is absolutely okay to want to hang up your wings, take off the halo and say, you know what? Forget it. I don't want to do this anymore. You're human. You're going to have those moments. Jesus Christ himself wanted out a couple of times. Okay. So it's okay to have those moments. Just make sure they're just moments. And you do what all the other masters did when they had those human moments. They prayed their way back to trusting. They just said, okay, God, you know what? I'm going to go to bed. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm going to put it in your hands. Your will, not mine. Go watch a movie, whatever. And you get right back up on the horse the next day. The key to this is absolutely conviction, commitment, and willingness to persevere. That's the only thing that matters in this situation. You got to have faith, you got to trust, and you got to persevere in that faith. And it's burning through that fire in you, by the way, is burning through the fear. We have to experience our fear before we can let it go. You know, you have to recognize what you're afraid of. Afraid that you're going to fail? Okay, turn that over to God. Afraid that you're on the wrong path? Turn that one over to God. Come back to center to the best of your ability and keep on doing that. And energetically, what's up for you feels like this month, meaning I'm going to say October, but also into November, there you're still going to be in a holding pattern for a bit. And I've been hearing just from different astrologers, ain't nothing going to happen between now and the end of this calendar year. Everybody might as well just kick back and have a good old party between now and January 1st. Because things aren't really going to start to move until after the first of the year. And 90% of it's astrological in nature. And, you know, believe me, I wish I could climb up into the heavens and rearrange the planets right now. If I could figure out a way to do that, you better believe I would. So are you willing to hang in there? That's the question. Erica.
In truth, I don't have much choice.
Oh, yeah. But no, sweetheart, you do. So I want you to give yourself credit, too, okay? I'm serious. I want you to give yourself credit. You absolutely are in choice. Free will's the ultimate variable. You could totally decide right now. You could hang up this phone and go, you know what, God, forget it. I'm done. I ain't going to do this. You could absolutely decide to do that. A lot of people give up on their passions. They hit that wall of fear and they absolutely give up. They hit this place of weight.
I can't give up.
Good. Don't.
It's like when you have a passion for something and when you have love for something. I love the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, and
yep.
You just, this love doesn't go away.
No.
You can do whatever you want. It doesn't go away.
And
I have my own personal experience on that. When you have a passion, you have a love, you must follow.
Yeah. Why? Erica, why? What is the passion? Why is that the case? Where's the passion really coming from?
I believe it's from my spirit.
It's God. Absolutely. It's God, saying, Erica, honey, I need you to walk in the world for me in this exact precise way, and you're the only one on the planet that's going to be able to do it. So he's got to get you jazzed, kiddo. That's how it works. You know, so I think in another, you know, few months, and I'm going to trust in another year for sure, we're all going to be having a little conversation about, wow, wasn't that crazy when we were just hanging on by our fingernails to that energy, you know, and we're all going to be able to see why we had to do that. It's going to be clear what that experience was for and how that experience strengthened us. I believe that heart and soul, because I've been through enough in the last 5 years to be able to tell you that without hesitation, that in the aftermath of those types of transits, you can look back and go, wow, that's why that didn't happen 1 second sooner than it did. So you have to trust, and that's the whole point. Your faith is being strengthened, not just tested. It's being strengthened. And you got to remember that. And if that's the only thing that you can hang on to right now, then I would tell you that's all you have to hang on to. And keep doing the prayers, keep the vision, keep trusting. There's no way, kid, as tapped in as you are, you're not going to miss anything. You're not going to miss any signals. You're not going to mistake something and go in the wrong direction. It's not going to happen.
That's my fear.
Yeah, well, you can, so for what my opinion's worth, you can let that fear go. You're not going to miss it. Besides that, if you're working in cahoots with God, which it sounds like you are, if you keep praying to God about this, he does not whisper. God will run us over with a freight train, if necessary, to help us see what we need to see. But, you know, some of us are stubborn and we get run over by the freight train and we still go, I wonder what I'm supposed to be doing. So just promise me, you know, if a friendly freight train comes by, you'll heed the message. You're not going to miss anything, I promise you. So
yes, I know somehow I won't, but there is always the fear that I might miss something. I might not, you know, I miss something and I miss my life. You know, that little fear.
Absolutely. Oh, I know that fear really well. So here's the other thing.
I'm sorry. I just go for it and after I do a comment on the coaching thing
Yes.
you're talking about.
Here's
go for it. What you're going to tell?
I want to tell you one of the things about the point of what you're experiencing, the fear that's coming up. Needs to be cleared in you. So that's, you're being given an opportunity to see that fear. The fact that you can articulate to me, I know that I'm not going to miss anything, but the fear is there.
Yep.
Get rid of the fear. Your knowing is your spiritual nature. Your knowing is that connection to God. But the fear is the human stuff that needs to be let go of. That's belief system, that's legacy, that's all of that good stuff. So do what you need to do now to clean that out, because I will tell you something. You cannot be a good counselor. You cannot be a good coach. You cannot be an effective healer on this planet unless you have walked your talk, unless you have been in your own shadow place and have healed it so that you can help others heal their shadow. There's a lot of unhealed healers out there, a lot of wounded healers. Don't be one of them. So take advantage right now. That's part of what's happening. You're in that holding pattern to force to the surface those things that need to be cleared. And that's what both Catherine Ponder and Florence Scovel Shinn talk about in that stage two of manifestation. That's the dark night of the soul. That's when all that garbage surfaces, the fears of the ages, the doubts of the ages. That's what Florence Scovel Shinn calls it. Those come up to be put out. So take advantage. Whatever's being surfaced in you right now, clean it up. It's not just the waiting period that's making you afraid. Those fears are in you anyway. The waiting period is just surfacing those fears. So clean them out so you can be even more powerful when this thing does open up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And that's a good point about waiting period being kind of surfacing, helping to surfacing the stuff. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. No, take advantage of it. Absolutely. That is really going to be a key piece of this. And, you know, and the other piece of this too, if we don't do the work we need to do, especially with the level of consciousness that you have, you can, in effect, stretch this waiting period out even longer. Okay. I don't believe that we are in charge of the timing, but I do believe that we're in charge of what we do within the framework of that timing. And I think part of this for all of us is, are we going to resist and fight and complain and doubt and all that stuff during the waiting? Or are we going to have our moments and then we're going to grab ourselves by our bootstraps and say, all right, what do I need to do here? What do I need to change? What do I need to work on so that I am fully prepared when those gates open? And that, I'm telling you something, girl, you're powerful. So take advantage of it. Okay?
Okay, I just have a comment about, you know, polarity.
Yes,
when
ma'am.
When you're talking the story about the coach, mm-hmm. I haven't been thinking about maybe that is some type of polarity that is kind of swift or changed or twisted.
Yeah.
In which, you know, the time you should be using the male polarity, you use the female and vice versa.
True.
And I just heard recently that this happens in your own body. And today I can tell by experience that because I had to perform in two schools the same time, I was doing two schools the same time. So my, you know, adrenaline was up,
right.
And my cortisol was up, and
right.
I got about 70 pounds as weight. So it means that my body was not functioning as a woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
As the female part.
Yeah.
And I had to be like the male. I have to do it,
do it,
go perform. That's high adrenaline.
Yeah.
So I'm just wonder if this is the kind of situation that is happening with the coaches and the whole story you were talking about it, this kind of twist.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. And I think that the coaches that that don't, you know, that don't play all of the players on the teams and don't do that in a sportsmanlike way, they're coming from a place of fear, so they're in their shadow. And then this whole idea that we have to protect, you know, the children from feeling bad or protect the children from failing, that's also a fear-based thing, and it doesn't teach anybody anything. It doesn't give the masculine an opportunity to be a warrior, because warriors lose battles. They have to learn how to lose battles if they're going to learn how to win a war with honor. And so, yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, it's a fascinating fact that, you know, if you're not in your core, your physical nature will reflect that as well, just like every other aspect of you. So thank you for that perspective, my dear. So I'm sending you tons of angels for hanging in there during this period of time, and keep me informed. And we're going to have a laugh about this, Erica. I promise you, baby girl, we're going to laugh about this. Okay.
I hope so.
All right,
I'm waiting for this day.
Absolutely. You take good care. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. You bet, baby. Bye-bye. We are going to take a short break. Oh, no, we're not, Barb says. Okay, we're going to the phone lines. Sorry. Wow. Barb has very large, beautiful eyes, and they just got so big they about popped out of her head when I said we were taking a break. So we're going to the phone lines. Who we got? Sammy. Sammy.
Hello.
Hi, babe. How are you?
I'm okay. First off, the quietest place I could find is near an elevator bank, so
cool.
I'll apologize for the beeping tones behind me.
Awesome. What's going on, girly?
Well, I think normally for most callers, they'd be excited about this, but I was just asked out on a date, and I am terrified.
Of course you are.
First time in over a year, and I've made some big changes in the last year, so it's like brand new.
Yeah, you don't have a frame of reference for how to be in this situation, do you?
No, that's it. I don't.
No. And that is, and that's why it's fearful. So, first of all, just, you know, for the sake of the listeners, so it doesn't sound like we have this big secret thing going on, I know Sammy very well, and she's done extraordinary work, did the CSI program, and shifted unbelievable stuff. And is it fair to say, Sammy, that you are really, really in your feminine core in a huge way right now in your life? Yes.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And you're experiencing all sorts of amazing things. Like, I loved your story the other day that you shared with me about getting on the bus, and the bus was totally packed, and two gentlemen offered you their seat, even though there were other women standing that they didn't offer it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's a perfect example.
And I accepted.
Good. I know. I'm so proud of you for that too. It's so awesome. Yeah. That's total polarity at work right there. It's instinctual polarity. So what's happening now for you is the only thing you need to be afraid of is fear itself. I'm serious. You're, honey, the fear is just coming up because it's different. You're just walking in a brand new place. That's all it is. And so I'm going to test you for a second here. I'm going to ask you, what do you need to do when you're in this place of unfamiliar territory? What is important to keep your eye on in this process?
Well, keep my eye on God and turn the fear over to Him.
Exactly. So let's talk for just a second a little bit about like your relationship history has been not very good, right? I mean, you've been with
not very good.
Yeah.
But I was also very much, you know, shadow masculine, I think, in most of it.
Absolutely. And that's what happens when we're in our shadows. We will beget shadow in other people, and we will attract people in their shadow. And remember, a little polarity reminder here, that the masculine is 80% responsible for creating right polarity, meaning the feminine can't relax fully into her feminine unless she's got true masculine hero energy around her. And that's a little hard to find on the planet. It's not impossible, but it's challenging. And so it's even scarier now because you've done the work to open up to that feminine. And now you're out there practicing it in the real world with other humans, right?
Yeah.
Who aren't necessarily in their cores. But here's what I can tell you, babe. So let's just say that this gentleman that you've met that you're going to go on this date with, let's just say that he really is just a decoy. Okay, he's just somebody that's coming along to kind of test you.
Right.
First of all, if you're operating from your feminine, which you are, okay, you're not going to go back into your shadow, at least not remotely to the degree that you used to be. You'll have shadow responses because that's very instinctual and very natural. And that helps okay. the feminine know when something isn't right. That's that crap detector that Dr. John Gottman talks
right.
about, right? So when you're out with this dude on this date, you get to be very, very, you get to practice. That's the cool thing, Sammy. You get to practice being in your feminine with your intuition wide open, and you get to just see what this gentleman is all about. And I want to give you an image that I want you to take with you on this date. Okay.
Okay.
When you're on this date, I want you to be, you are the queen, literally the queen. You are the definitive queen, the ruler of the kingdom, who is completely emotionally open, very intuitive, absolutely the ruler of the spiritual realm, completely connected to God and the angels. And her gig is to love divinely, is to literally be the expressor of divine love in the world. So you can actually go on this date and you can actually love this man that you don't even know from a divine perspective. I want you to visualize being divine love in that bigger sort of communal global way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And literally do some intentions cool. about divine love. And it's a fascinating experience. It's not this new agey thing like it probably sounds to some people listening. It's actually a physical experience of being very relaxed, very in your own skin, and just loving the world, basically, and loving the masculine in the world and loving the masculine in this man. Doesn't mean you love the man. It means you love the masculine in him. So you're going to invite it from him. Then you get to sit on the throne, and he gets to prove himself to you, because that's what the champion does. He proves that he is trustworthy. You cannot trust someone unless they prove that they're trustworthy. However, they cannot begin to show you that they're trustworthy unless you start to trust them. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. And the only way, kiddo, you're going to be able to trust him at the get-go is to trust God. If you go on this date and this dude turns out to be just a complete dork, you know, or really a rotten person, God is going to let you intuit that right away. And you're going to be able to maybe have a drink with them or whatever and go, you know, this is really not working out, but I appreciate getting a chance to get to know you. And then you can leave with grace and honor and all that great stuff. Or, you know, you'll get to know him and find out, gosh, there's all sorts of heroic things about him. I'm curious to see if he continues to be heroic. And that's the opportunity that you have if you're in that place of divine love. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Does it sound, give it a try. Does it sound doable?
Yeah, totally different.
Different than
but
what?
Doable.
Different than what? Tell me.
Than anything I would have ever done in the past.
So let's.
But
talk.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So no wonder I was getting what I got in the past.
Well, sure. So let's talk for a second about how you did go into this in the past. What was that experience like?
Well, usually I was always the pursuer, and for sure picked men who were emotionally unavailable because that was safe.
Right. You bet.
Somewhere. I knew it wouldn't ever work, or it would work poorly.
Yeah.
But that was okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And so did you find in that place that as the pursuer, you actually, in fact, kind of became a jackhammer, like you were trying to force the man into being emotionally responsive to you?
Yeah.
Isn't that a fun?
Didn't work.
Yeah. Isn't that a fun little dynamic? Yeah. That's a real easy place to go. So what I love about the divine love thing is that it really does put you in a situation to, like I say, invite the best out of people. And then in that invitation, you'll be able to see the best in them if they truly are living it. You won't just see their potential. You'll see the reality of them, and you'll be able to discern whether or not they're going to step up to the plate. And then some of it is just, you know, giving the guy a little bit of a chance. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie The Big Chill?
No.
Oh, it's a
or if I did, it was a long time
incredible
ago.
Incredible film back in the 80s, an ensemble piece with Kevin Kline and Glenn Close and a bunch of just amazing actors. And there's this one line in there. Mary Kay Place is a woman who wants to have a baby so bad, but she's single and she's been dating for like 20 years. And she says to Glenn Close's character, she says, "I've been out in the dating world for 20 years and I can tell in the first 15 seconds if there's a chance in the world." And Glenn Close goes, "Well, at least you're giving the guys a fair shot." And it's true. You know, you do have to give them at least a little bit of time, but I will tell you flat out from a polarity standpoint, a man is going to show his true nature in about the first 6 minutes that you meet him. And I'm not kidding you. And that comes from that instinctual perspective. You're going to be able to feel if he is, in fact, heroic on an ongoing basis. And then if you get, and my sense is, since I do have a little details about you meeting this guy, you talked to him for 3 hours. I'm going to assume that you felt there was something heroic about him or you wouldn't have spent 3 hours with him. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement.
Okay. All right. So that's all you need right now, kiddo, to trust in God, be in that space of divine love, trust your feminine because she's pretty amazing, and just let him show who he is. And then, you know, let him show it some more and let him show it some more and let him show it some more. And pretty soon you got a track record of heroic behavior. And so be also willing to continue to stay in that place of observation. One of the challenges with the feminine nature is that we are hardwired to fall in love. Y'all have heard me say this before, and this is the feminine psyche in a nutshell. You go on a date with a gentleman and you are in a relationship. If he kisses you, you're in a committed relationship. If you have sex with him, you're married with children. Okay? That's how it works on a psychological level. So you're going on a date with this guy. You have in fact already had one because you spent 3 hours with him. You're in a relationship with this dude. Okay? Your heart is already opened. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So good. Let that be true. Don't try to hold it in. Don't try to stuff it down. Don't try to shut it down. Be in that place from the more divine perspective. Be in observation and participate fully. Just don't make any decisions from that place. In other words, don't decide that you're going to spend the rest of your life with him or that you're going to kick him to the curb yet. Okay? You haven't had enough time with him. But you got to let yourself participate fully and also stay true to your feminine nature, knowing in fact what your heart is gonna do if you proceed in this relationship. Your heart is gonna open and you are going to fall in love with this man. That's how it works. Okay. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. Yeah. It's like you're in my brain this morning.
Well, that's because, honey, you're having this awesome polarity experience. I'm so proud of you. So just, I want you to have,
oh, thank you.
I really am. I want you to have fun with it and really stay in that divine space and see what happens, okay?
Okay.
All right, girl.
Thank you.
Of course, we are all going to want to know what happens. So
I will post something on the page.
Good girl, and I'll keep my listeners informed. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Babe. All righty.
Bye. Bye. Well, Jennifer and Terry, we didn't get to today. Sorry, darlings. Next time, I promise. So thank you, everybody. Wow, did that hour just fly on by? If you like today's show, I would love for you to email it to people you know who might like it too. And the show will be up in the archives in the next day or so. And you can access those by going to the media page at michellemorgan.org. Click on the archive button and then you can click on the little button that says email and you can send the show or any of the other previous shows to people that you know, or you can share them on your Facebook page or however you would like to get them out there for me. I would really appreciate that. If you love the music on the show, of course we do, go to iTunes and download the songs. I always list them on my Facebook fan page. Be sure to tune in next week. I'm starting a money and prosperity series. It's going to be at least a couple of shows on that. Who knows? We might stretch that sucker out forever. That's going to be a lot of information. So tune in for that. 12 noon Pacific Standard Time next Monday on contacttalkradio.com or 106.9 HD3 in Seattle. Barb Perry, thank you so much, darling. So great to see you again. And have a great week, everybody. I will look forward to seeing you next week. This is Michelle Morgan. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. Take care.
You've
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.